see what happens. Akas menele v'adam mikol atayves. Anger holds the heart back from all goods. Anger holds the heart of a person back from all tayves. Ki kisha'adam kayes, because when a person's angry, ein loy lev l'rachem al aniyim. He does not have a heart to have mercy on the poor. We'll explain. By Hashem Yisparach, never by Hashem it says, "Biragiz rachem tiskar." Only by Hakadosh Baruch Hu it says that even when he's angry, he still remembers his rachmanis. This is very distant from the ways of human beings, flesh and blood. In other words, when a person gets angry, it consumes the person. He loses his rachmanis. A person is, a person's cruel. A person can be cruel on his own children, on his own family, when he's angry. Because a person's angry, he's a meshugana, he's absorbed in his anger, and he mamash loses all rachmanis. Person has to really work on himself to uproot, cast from himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be angry, and of course, whatever that means, Hashem's angry, but Hashem could still retain MS, Cheshbin, Rachmanus. But a person gets angry, that's why I told you many times that you're not allowed to do anything, you're not allowed to punish your child, you're not allowed to do anything when you're angry, because when you're angry, you lose sense of MS, you lose sense of Rachmanus, you're just absorbed with your anger. There was once a guy that when he got angry, the guy Pasha turned green. He became a monster when he got angry. You ever heard of such a guy? Yeah. Such a guy, he turned into a monster. He turned into a green. Anyways, so there's a good what's it called? There's a good lesson there. Not good too. See those stuff? But there's a lesson there, because a person gets angry, he's pushed a different person. He's a meshugana. He used to be this nice, soft guy, and all of a sudden, you're wondering, like, what happened to the guy? He snapped? When a guy gets angry, he's pushed a different person. Pushed a meshugana. And it's dangerous. Now, when I first read the line here, I took a different meaning on it. Because if you'll notice, you also probably did. He says, anger holds back the heart of people from all tovos. And then he says, because when a person gets angry, he doesn't have the heart to have mercy on poor people. L'chaira, the Aruch HaTzaddikim is saying that a person is held back from doing tovos. He's held back from accomplishing good deeds, because when he's angry, he doesn't have rachmanas on people. By the way, even if a person's not angry at the poor, he's angry at his wife, he's angry at his friend, he's angry at his parents. When he's angry, he doesn't have rachmanas on anyone. When a person's angry, he can't think of anyone. When a person's angry, he's just thinking about himself, and he's just upset, and he has no heart to have rachmanas. Even though he's not angry at the poor people, what the poor person do? But if, imagine the poor guy goes over to him and asks him for money. Stop bothering me. But Lamaisa, there's a different take here. I don't think that's not what the Aruch HaTzaddikim meant, but it made me think that anger holds back the heart holds back a person's heart from all tayves. I was thinking, when a person's angry, he can't enjoy life. He's held back from enjoying, not just giving other people, which by the way is a great enjoyment. But any enjoyment in life, when a person's angry, he can't enjoy life. He can't enjoy things. Person could be even by his own child's wedding, or maybe even his own wedding. And if he's angry at someone just really did something to get him angry, Pasha can disturb this whole situation of simcha, this whole situation of happiness. Anger disturbs a person. A person can't enjoy the things, all the brachas that a person gets. He can't enjoy when there's kas, when a person's angry. Stam is a good thing. When a person should try to enjoy something. A person should try to enjoy something. Enjoy the present. Most people don't live in the present. Most people, I think, don't live in the present. When a person sits down, to drink a can of soda, You know, he has a hamburger, has a can of soda. Geschmack of food. We should enjoy even the, you know, chicken, you know, every day of the week. You know, we should enjoy any food we should enjoy. We should enjoy bread, we should enjoy water, we should enjoy everything. But I'm not talking about the simplest person. Person just has a geschmack of steak. You know, you're not a Pirish yet. Not a Pirish yet. So if you're not a Pirish, so then you have a, if you're not being Pirish from the steak, I'm not telling you to now, then enjoy it. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Ah, geschmack. Turn that enjoyment to Akarsa Tov Takarish Baruch. Ah, steak's geschmack. The Gemara says, I'll tell you why I'm talking about it here. The Gemara says, anyone that is mitzar himself from wine, Gemara in the Darim, Mara Nazir, called Tzir Atzim and Ayah. Anyone that holds himself back from wine is called a Chaytek. I'm sorry? Anyone that holds back from drinking wine is called a Chaytek. Meaning, if we're not talking about someone that doesn't like wine, in those days, they're probably all like in France, the person likes enjoys wine. So the person that holds himself back from wine, the Gemara calls him a Chaytek. So I don't know how to reconcile. Yeah, sinner. So I don't know how to reconcile with Inyani Precious. But one thing you do, one thing we could take out from the Gemara, if it says that if you hold yourself back from drinking wine, you're a chaytek, then if you drink the wine, then enjoy the wine. If you're drinking it already, you know, you're supposed to enjoy it and show hakaras l'tov takadosh baruch hu. Why am I talking about this now? Because people don't live in the present. A person, let's say, a person's by his own child, own wedding, or a person's by a sibling's wedding. So many times they get aggravated by the pictures. Oh, you know, the pictures are not, this person's not here, we have to start taking the pictures already, and they get aggravated. And that aggravation sometimes puts a damper in the whole wedding. Starts a little fight. People get aggravated over silly things. You understand, the purpose of getting married is not for the pictures. The purpose of going to a family trip to Florida is not to take pictures. People can't live in the present. They're only living, let's get that pose. I'm not saying you shouldn't take pictures, but that should be the tofel. The ikar should be living in the present. Not, let's make sure to get together, we're going to get the picture, and they get all nervous and get upset. Oh, they're not standing straight. They're not posing, but we're not going to get good pictures. And they pleasure to just lose all sense of presence. All sense of present tense. Because they're worried about their pictures for the future, because they don't know how to think in terms of just, let me grab the moment. You know, people think, you know, it's similar. People think that a child, it's not so important. If I let him cry in the crib, right? He's not going to remember it. People have this idea in their head, in their back of their head. He's not going to remember in 20 years from now that he's crying in his crib. Fool. Foolish. I don't understand. If a person's 20 years old and you make him cry because you insult him, you embarrass him, you make him feel bad, he's going to remember in 20 years, he might forget. Who cares if he'll remember now? Let's say there's no such thing as memory. We value every second in the present. When a child's crying, he's crying. Don't remember? He's crying. He's in pain. A child's pain is not worse than an adult's pain. It's just as bad. Obviously, there's sometimes where you can't give in to a child's crying, even though it pains him, because, you know, the kid's not going to have any teeth, because he's eating candy all day, he's not going to be sleeping, of course. You have to discipline. But not to ignore the kid's crying. That's what's wrong. You know, if I let my kid cry, I'm not saying I'm not, but all of Musavad, by the way, is a reflection of my imperfection. I'm just talking about my imperfections that haven't been perfected yet. I haven't perfected what I'm talking about. I should make this clear. I'm just discussing the knowledge that we're trying to apply. And I enjoy Musavad for myself, because hopefully by talking about it, I'll apply it better for myself. But sometimes I hit my kid, I have to let my kid go to sleep, and I have to let him cry, let's say, to go to sleep. So I don't just, you know, I'll stand there listening to him cry. Or I might not even go back to sleep so quickly. I might stay up and listen to him cry and not go back to sleep. I should be insensitive to a human being, especially my child's pain. He's in pain, he's crying, he's a human being. Just because I'm doing discipline, we mentioned this before, a different light. Just because I'm doing discipline doesn't mean there's not pain here. It doesn't mean I should be insensitive to it. The doctor, by the way, it's a danger, you know, a doctor, has to hurt a patient, you know, he's got to be, it's very hard for him to keep the sensitivity, it's an avaida, because once you do it enough times, you can become insensitive to it. There's a Ramban in Chumash that says that butchers don't lose sensitivity. It brings a Gemara, that butchers lose sensitivity, not because they do anything wrong, it's a mitzvah, shechita is a mitzvah, but just if you chef enough times, you lose a certain sensitivity. Of giving pain. Giving pain to other people.
Human beings?
Yeah, even he says, even a shaykhid of animals can lose sensitivity to human beings. That's the way it is. Of course it's different. Still it happens. Still it happens. Because a maestro who requires a certain toughness to do something, it has an influence on you. So you have to be very careful. But the point is that we're always supposed to be sensitive. We live in the present. We have to value every second of the present. If there's something going on, if there's a wedding going on, we should value, let me enjoy the present, let me enjoy the piece of meat, let me enjoy the steak. Oh, Baruch Hashem. Some people never enjoy, they're always worrying about the future. You know, there's no present by them. If they're eating supper, they're worried about, you know, what's going to be, if they're eating lunch, they're worried about what am I going to have for supper. Oh, if it's a steak for lunch, oh, but I'm not going to have a good supper. They're always just worrying, always thinking, never living in the present. People of mamash kill weddings by pictures. Pictures are not the most important part of the wedding, are they? And before they had cameras, before they have pictures, they make weddings. This is the ikkar of a wedding, is the pictures. I don't even know if it makes sense to spend an hour and make everyone wait for pictures. I hear. I'm not saying not to do it. My point is that the ikkar should be the present. The present. By the way, every present counts. I met this before. I was surprised that I saw it. I saw it in a book. Hearts Full of Faith or something. He wrote that people come to complain about their teenagers, and he says, what happened when they're little kids? Did you let them cry? Were you sensitive when they cried? It's a chiddush that he said such a thing. Every present counts. Every impression made on us counts. So I'm discussing here because a person gets angry, a person gets upset. Try not to let other things distract the present situation. If there's good here, let's enjoy it. Oh, let's sit down by Gemara. Let's stop. I'm learning Gemara. A guy, there's so many people like that. I don't know, you know, there's people that they don't know how to enjoy anything. Anything that good that happens to them is always, but there's not this. Oh, but what's going to be tomorrow? But there's not that. Fine, worry about tomorrow. But don't ignore what's in front of your face. Let's continue here. Anger is without the person's kavana from davening. When a person's angry, he can't concentrate on his davening. He might even be angry against a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which really won't help him. He can't daven. And the Shechina does not rest mitaych hakas. If a person's really angry and he can't daven, perhaps the halach is he shouldn't daven. If a person finds himself, I remember one of the call guys once telling me, he told me it was before he couldn't daven. I don't think it was kas, but he was upset about something and he couldn't daven with the tzibur. There is such a possibility where a person can't concentrate on his davening, then even to miss tefillah b'tzibur, it's better to daven later and have kavana and sit there and read the words with a, you know, thinking about other things all davening. It's better to wait till later. You know, obviously a person who, you know, be careful not to make a heter out of that one. Okay, let's see the idea. Kol kaisim lo yeh chacham gadol. An angry person will never be very wise. Will never be a chacham gadol. Ki hakas mavriach milibay chachmasa. Because anger will chase wisdom out of his heart. Anger is the opposite of wisdom. When a person's angry, there is no chachma there. Shlo yuchal lanas kahagin. He will not be able to answer someone else properly. V'lo yechiyach kahagin. Won't give mussar properly. V'chol dvar v'lo behaskel. And all his words are not with seichel. Hakas min akasim manei amimena musar v'sei chachai. Musar. He holds back Musar from him. No one's allowed to tell him his mistakes. In his bad ways, his disgusting ways. He called all the Yifchav, he meant everyone's afraid of him. Lagilo and Yana to tell him the way it is, to tell him his fault. Because they're afraid he's going to get angry. Let's finish the paragraph. I'd like to spend some time discussing this. And even if someone gives a Musar, even if someone has enough guts, if someone has enough guts to give a Musar, he won't accept it because he gets angry. The rule is, an angry person cannot receive any good mida. He will not be a receptive vessel for any good mida, for anything good. In law, Yasser Maliba Kas, unless he removes the anger from his heart. Anger destroys everything. So, I'd like to discuss a few minutes, spend some time discussing the current idea of accepting Musar. You know, it's difficult for us to accept Musar. When someone else gives us Musar, it's very difficult for us to accept. I'd like to discuss a little bit. First of all, of course, we have to work on accepting Musar. In fact, I just came across a Gemara that brings down a pasuk in Mishlei. So I wrote it down in my Orcha Tzedikin. It says, "Al toichiach l'leit. Don't give Musar to a leit. Pen yisnacha, maybe he'll hate you. Don't give Musar to a leit, because maybe he'll hate you. You're not mechuyev. If a guy's a leit, he's not going to accept it. There's no din. We'll see later in the Orcha Tzedikin. If you don't give Musar to someone that you know is not going to accept, unless there's a chance he'll take, you know, if you know he's not going to take it. Ein hachanam. If you can call him a title of late, then you know he won't take it. But guys, sometimes it's a late, it's a little different. Right? But give Musar to a Chacham, but this is very nice. Give a Chacham Musar, Hocheyach l'Chacham, V'yahavecha, and he will love you. Give Musar to a Chacham and he'll love you. Because a Chacham wants to know. A Chacham means someone who's just, he doesn't have to be a genius to be a Chacham. No, it says in the Mishnah Perek Yavis, Ezel Chacham, Tzalayim Mikol Adam. I'm just thinking this now, that a Chacham doesn't say Talmud Chacham. I don't know if Chacham always has to be defined even if he's not a Gadol and Taira. It says, Ezel Chacham Alayim Mikol Adam, the guy could have started learning at 80. He just became a convert. He's 80 years old. Ezel Chacham Alayim Mikol Adam, he's a Chacham. 80 years old, he hasn't learned Alayim, he's a Chacham. Because a Chacham is a person, is not discussing how much he's attained. It's discussing if his seichel is there. If he's mevakish emes, if he cares about the truth. He cares about, if a person's smart, then he cares about the truth. He cares about Kodesh Baruch Hu. I've said this many times. If a guy's a genius, that he doesn't care about ruchnius, the guy's a genius. He's a genius. He doesn't care about religion. He doesn't care about Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's not a genius. He's a fool. He's a fool. How could he call him a genius? He's wasting his life. He's a genius. He's a fool. He's not a genius. He's a fool. I said this before, this marshal. Imagine you had a genius. Imagine the genius that worked. And by the way, there are such. You have a genius that he works on. He works on making a toilet bowl that has the quickest flush. The genius spends his whole life developing a very complicated toilet bowl that has the quickest flush. The water goes down the fastest, it comes up the fastest. You know, people enjoy a quick flush. See, would you think this guy's a genius? No other person in the whole world could have thought of making such a toilet bowl. So, you think the guy's a genius? No, he's an idiot. He's an idiot. Why? He's a bigger idiot. Because he's using all those brains that HaKadosh Baruch gave him, and he's wasting it. And he's flushing it down the toilet. Right? He's wasting it all. So, who defines brain? Who defines a Chacham by IQ? Who cares what your IQ is? Who cares? If you're using it, fine. If you're using it right. If you're not using it, and you're wasting it, then you're just a shaita. You're a teepish. You're a fool. There's nothing impressive about a genius unless he applies his knowledge. And it's a very big responsibility in being a genius. A very big responsibility. So now, so Ezel Chacham, Alayim Nikol, the person cares about the truth. So Be'etzem, when someone gives us Musar, our outlook should be that he did something wonderful for us. There's a story with one of the Ger Rebbes that he, I think it was a Ger Rebbe, one of them, I don't know which one, sure a fisherman knows, but he hit his son because his son slept through davening. He gave his son mussar. He gave his son shtark mussar because his son missed davening or something. And Imam she gave him a whole good mussar shmooze. And after it was over, the son told him, what did he say? Either he said he davened. Maybe I'm mixing up the story. I feel bad. The point of the story is there. But I think he said that he woke up or something. He woke up early and he davened already and he was up like the whole night. Whatever it was. It was totally nothing that it was nothing he did wrong. So the father said to him, why didn't you tell me when I started giving you a mussar? He said, I have a chance to get a good mussar shmooze. I'm going to pass it over. I have a chance to get some good mussar. I'm going to pass it over. Because he wasn't a... Because this child who became the later Ger Rebbe, I think, if I have it straight, he wasn't looking to defend himself. He was looking to learn. He was looking to grow. He was looking for emes. I like to speak about something I hold very important. It's very interesting. Why is it so hard for us to accept... Why is it so hard for us to accept Muslim? Why does a person have a hard time accepting Muslim? And I'll tell you what it is. By the way, when you hear a good Musa Shmooze, when you hear a good Musa Vad comes once every few months, you have a good every Friday you get a good Musa Shmooze. So hopefully you enjoy it. Hopefully you love Musa. I've said this before. It's a very important midah. Unfortunately, it's not everyone doesn't have it. It's a good sign. If you love Musa, if you love hearing good Musa Shmooze, then you should pat yourself on the back. It's a good sign about you. It's a good sign a person loves Musa. Shai is a friend of the Racha, love Musa. I love Musa. Like, I love Musa. There are guys that even, I can see their guys, they're even excited to come to this Musa Seder. You know, that's a good sign. It's a good sign a guy loves Musa. So now, when a guy gets told Musa to himself, why is a person having a hard time accepting Musa? So I'll tell you a little story that happened to me. It sort of hit me hard. I was in Yeshiva Rockway. And a guy is important inside. I just told this to someone this morning, this idea. I was in Yeshiva Rockway and someone came over to me. I'm sorry. I was in Yeshiva Rockway and I was looking for a ride to Lakewood. So I went over to a person. I went over to a Baal. It was a Baal. He's a Rebbe. But I went over to a person and I asked him, I heard you go to Lakewood. It's possible. I don't know if I was rich. I don't know if I'm saying this for 100%. The point is clear. I said, I want to write. I'm looking to go to Lakewood. He said, "Would you have room?" So he said, "Yeah." I think he told me to have room. Yeah. But my side decided not. I'll tell you what happened. My side decided not to go to Lakewood. I don't remember the details. I don't know if I told him I'm for sure going. If I just asked him. Kitzer, Shabbos. Was it Shabbos? I think it was Shabbos. So Shabbos day. It turns out I don't think I went to Lakewood, and I don't think that person either went to Lakewood. But he came over to me, Shabbos. I know he came over to me Shabbos. It was either that Shabbos and he didn't go to Lakewood, or it was the next Shabbos and he went. And he came over to me, he came over to me and he said to me, this is like before davening, I don't know when it was. He came over to me and said to me, you know, you should have told me that you didn't plan on coming with me to Lakewood anymore. Because I was holding a spot for you, other people looking for rides. You know, and you should have, and he said, he didn't say it mean, he told me pretty sharp. He told me, you should have told me, I wasn't responsible, wasn't ready not to tell me. And I'll tell you that I'm remembering, I was very crushed. I like the word crushed. I wasn't crushed. I was a little bit crushed. I was a little bit hurt. I wasn't angry at the guy who told me that, but we learn a lot from the story. But I was crushed. I was hurt. And then during davening, I had trouble concentrating. I had trouble concentrating my davening. So now I was thinking about it. Even then, I think I chafed. Why was I so crushed? Why was I so crushed? Alumnus. Why was I crushed? Was it pshat? Was I crushed? I thought to myself, was I crushed because I did such an aveira? I did such a terrible aveira. That I wasn't nice. I wasn't responsible. I didn't tell the person that I wasn't going to ride with him. Was that why I was upset? This was aveira. I accepted it. I knew that he was, I agreed with he was right. I didn't have a problem if he was right. But I was
a little bit.
Good. So that's what I want to bring out. So I accepted that he was right, but I was very hurt. I was very hurt by this. By I was upset by the situation. I was upset by the situation. So I was thinking, I said, why am I so upset? Because I'm so upset because I did such a terrible thing, I didn't tell the guy. First of all, I'm Kamachu, if I remember correctly, I don't think there was any nafkamina. Either the guy didn't go to Lakewood or he went and gave them rights. There was no nafkamina. So I didn't do anything that really hurt anyone in the end. Second of all, I mean, I'm middle of davening. I could be in middle of davening Shimon Esrei. And I didn't ask about, it was a Shabbos davening, so there's no afterrain of a tshuva. I didn't necessarily ask for tshuva, but I'm middle of davening Shimon Esrei. And I'm not concentrating on my tefillah because I'm worried, because I'm upset about what happened. I don't understand. If I'm worried about the fact that I did not serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly by not telling this person I want to arrive, so why am I messing myself up further and not davening with kavana? The teretz is obvious. I realized it wasn't bothering me that I did an aveira. I just said lashon hara yesterday. I just said lashon hara 10 minutes before. I said lashon hara. It wasn't bothering me, but it bothered me that someone else thinks that I'm not perfect. Someone else thinks that I did a boo boo. That I'm not a good. I'm not a perfect guy. I'm a good bacher yeshiv for Akwai, and I, of course, think, want other people to think of me as a good bacher, think of me as perfect. Of course, I never make any mistakes. Perfect. And I was hurt. It bothered me so much that that person had a negative feeling on me that he should look down on me that I did something wrong. So it has nothing to do with the Kaddish Baruch. It's all about me, as Muslims are. It's about me feeling hurt. Now, honestly, and by the way, this happens to us many times in our life. Just someone recently told me, this happens to us many times. I'm telling you something comes up. Many times, someone came over to me today, and he did something, and a few people criticized what he did. A few people criticized, they said what he did was inappropriate. I just told him, I said, listen, he said, first of all, it seems like there are dissenting opinions whether what you did was so inappropriate or not. But also, just remember, don't get so crushed, don't get so hurt. If you made a mistake, so you made a mistake. You've done worse mistakes. You've said lashon hara, you've done worse mistakes. This was a mistake, lashon hara, you do on purpose. You've made a mistake, you've done things on purpose. You're not a terrible person because people said you did something, you made a mistake, you did something inappropriate. Not terrible. Let's try to remember that it's other people that look at me. Don't worry what other people say about you. By the way, do you think that you, it's like we're so funny because we think we're so perfect. We think we're so perfect, or at least we know we're not perfect. So why do we have to be fooling anyone? If someone sees we did something wrong, someone sees we made a mistake, like better cover up. It's terrible. Someone sees that I'm not perfect. You thought you were perfect? If the guy would ask you himself, are you perfect? No. But that's the way it is. But it's not good. It's not good for a person to get crushed. It's not good for a person to get crushed. When a person's giving mussar, he has to be very, very careful. Because mussar is crushing. I'll tell you why it's crushing. This is why it's crushing. Mussar is crushing to a person to hear mussar. For many people, for most people, it's crushing when they get mussar. And the reason it's crushing is because of what we just spoke about just now. Because it hurts him that someone thinks of me in not a good light. Someone thinks of me that I did something wrong. It's not because of a Kaddish Baruch, it's not because of your Aveira. That's not it. Because if it's a Kaddish Baruch, then you're happy to know that you did something wrong, so you can do tshuva. Of course. So, of course, when we give mussar to other people, we'll learn in the next paragraph, we'll discuss in the next paragraph, you have to be very careful to be sensitive. But I'm discussing now a chiddush. We're discussing from the other side. When you're the recipient of mussar, don't get crushed. Don't get crushed. You know, a guy comes over to someone. Someone told me that a guy came over to him once and said to him, he took too much time. He davened too slowly. So I'm not discussing now. I've discussed many other times my tainas on the critics. Critics are not usually good. But I'm talking now for the person that heard that. You dive too slowly. This guy says, "Oh, I dive too slowly. I meet people wait. Oh no, it's terrible." Calm down. We don't like other people to think of us as doing something wrong. But honestly, let's pull ourselves together. Honestly, I davened too long, took it too far. Oh, so I did that on purpose. I purposely made it. Oh, you mean I was paying too much attention to the words? You mean I was saying the word and I davened too slowly? Oh, I did a terrible aveira. So if you did, okay, so next time you'll try to be more careful to keep up. But what was done was so good. Was so nothing wrong. You can't be nispoil. It's a very important thing, because otherwise you can't walk around life doing things you gotta do. You can't be nispoil. Nispoil means to be impressed, to be taken over. Don't be nispoil by when someone gives you mussar, when someone criticizes you. If you're nispoil, if you're crush, you won't be a person that loves mussar. This is very similar to things we've spoken about in self-confidence. But if you're gonna be nispoil, if you're gonna get crushed when a guy tells you mussar, when a guy says, oh, you should have done this, when you were davening, you should have done that, or, you know, you shouldn't have said that, you insulted the person, or you shouldn't have said that because, you know, that person, you know, whatever it is, it was inappropriate. So when you get crushed, those people can't handle mussar, because they're gonna get crushed. They're crushed. So what do? They stick out their two hands, they put up their hand, and they try to block it, because they can't hear that they did something wrong, because it's gonna crush them. So I'd rather just ignore, no, I didn't do anything wrong, not listening, they'll get angry at you, because it's all self-defense. It is self-defense, because it's gonna crush them. So they have no choice but to put on self-defense. I don't want you to take mussar. You'll say, okay, I'll take mussar. I'll take it, I'm not gonna put on my dukes, and then get crushed. Because chances are, because neither is good. It's not good to put up your dukes, it's not good to get crushed. What we have to do is to put down our hands and not get crushed. Don't get crushed. When someone tells you you did something wrong, don't get crushed by it. Put it into perspective. Did I do something really wrong against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Did I do a terrible aveira here? Did I? Well, probably not as bad as the Lashon Hara I spoke today, though. Probably not as bad as the Chol Shabbos I did this. Probably not as bad as all my brachas I make every day. Probably it's just one of those normal things that I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. I made a mistake. You're right. I made a mistake. Why is that crushing to me when someone tells me I did something wrong? It's not crushing. It takes work. It's not crushing. It shouldn't be crushing to you. Don't get so crushed. So by the way, you know what? I'll prove it to you. We get crushed even when we didn't do something wrong. When we, like when a guy gives us a mussar, right? And we really didn't do anything wrong. The guy tells us, you shouldn't have, you insulted that person. And let's say you know that you did it, what you did was the right thing to do. It was necessary. The guy was speaking Lashon Hara and you stopped him. And you told him, you have to stop talking Lashon Hara. And someone else came over to you and said, you're not going to embarrass someone. And the guy's wrong because he thinks that it's better to let someone say Lashon Hara than to stop them. So the guy's wrong. So he won't accept. Now, forget what happens afterwards. So we can't even accept that. Why can't we accept that? The guy told me, he said, you know, guys, why do you say that? So we start defending ourselves. I'm not saying we shouldn't defend ourselves. The Gemara says that you should defend yourself. Gemara says that you should defend yourself if people think you did something wrong. You could defend yourself. But it shouldn't be a defense. It just, I don't want you to be chayshu b'ksherim. I really had a good intention. But let's say the guy's not going to, you're not going to be able to convince the guy. Who cares? You think I did something wrong because I stopped the guy from saying Lashon Hara. You think I did something wrong because I walked out of the room when something was done with inappropriate. You think I did something wrong? I know I did something right. So why am I so nispoil? Why am I so taken over? Why am I so crushed that you think that I said, what, everyone has to think of you as God? You have to be perfect in everyone's eyes? So you're not perfect. So God doesn't think you're perfect. So what? You know that what you did was right. And if what you did was wrong, so fine, I made a mistake. So it's the point that we should be able to handle. So someone else thinks I did. Someone else gave me mussar. So we shouldn't get crushed by it. Don't let yourself get crushed. You know, I'll tell you. I feel it's a. What were you saying, Isaac?
If you don't have a little bit of that feeling, the person might not care as much. You go outside and apologize.
No, I don't think so. I'm talking about a person that really cares about the MS. He cares about Kodesh Baruch Hu. If someone tells you insulted someone, if someone comes over to you and tells you insulted someone, and you feel bad that person got insulted, so go over and apologize. Go over and apologize. You made a mistake. You don't have to get all crushed. Don't get all depressed. pass on yourself, oh, I'm such a mean person, because you're not really saying you're such a mean person because you insulted someone. If no one would have told you you insulted someone, and you just on your own think, oh, I might have insulted him, and you went over and apologized, you wouldn't get all crushed. It's the fact that someone else told you, oh, you insulted him. Oh, no, someone told me I insulted someone. I'm not perfect anymore. The guy thinks I'm not perfect. Oh, no. That's it. I'm such a loser. I'm such a thing. I want to tell you, it's very important. When you give someone musr, you know, many times, I think it's not fair. It's so not fair. Because, you know, sometimes a person does a small error, and they get criticized. They get criticized, not proportionate to what was done. When a guy says Lashon Hara, the guy corrects him, so what does he tell him? He tells him, oh, you know, you should be careful, you know, it's Lashon Hara, right? He's Edo. The guy just was over a lav. He just did a terrible Avera. But you're Edo, because you're supposed to be Edo. I think I did a terrible Avera, we spoke Lashon Hara. Okay, but you have to be Edo, right? To be Edo. But all of a sudden, when someone does something, like comes into yeshiva, it's not a good example. Let's say a guy comes into yeshiva with a hot pink shirt with yellow stripes on it. And you think, I'm not saying it's inappropriate. I don't want to discuss that. Let's say you think it's inappropriate. Yeah. You think it's inappropriate. Now the guy didn't do it on purpose. The guy's not doing it to make the guy's not doing it on purpose. He doesn't think it's so loud. The guy didn't innocently wear a very, outlandish outfit. So you want to tell the guy, the same Edelkite, more Edelkite than Lashon, more Edelkite. Sometimes we're so quick to pick on a guy, like the guy that davened too long. Why? Because some reason in our stupid heads, we projected such a big thing. We don't look at it honestly. And Tirchus Tibura, it wasn't fair you. And all of a sudden, a guy said Lashon Hara, oh, you said Lashon Hara. I think it's Lashon Hara. You have to be more careful. There are many reasons why this happens. But we have to be very careful in evaluations. When we see someone else do something wrong, are we overdoing it? Let's think about it. What did the guy do? Did the guy do it on purpose? Even if he did do it on purpose, what did he do? What aver was he aver when he came in with the shirt? He was disrespectful, maybe. It was a vatal Torah. Oh. Let's evaluate. Because you have to realize, if you don't evaluate properly, you go to the guy and say, Tirchadi Tzibura. Even Shugana. Let's say you really don't care about yourself. Let's say you really care about the Tzibura. Don't make a big deal of it. Go over to the guy and say, I feel bad even pointing out to you because your mamash a tzaddik and your mamash were just having kavana. But I think, it's kedai to point out to you that you adopted a little bit too long and people don't have the patience. Halavai, people would have the patience. The guy did such a, didn't even do anything wrong, I'm saying. I'm just giving you a mashal. Even if he did something wrong, even if it was a terrible tzibur. But what did the guy really do so bad? Evaluate for ourselves and someone else gives us muster. Evaluate. By the way, our first approach, I want to tell you, we should lean into it. Lean into it by the helps. Lean into it. When you know a guy's about to give you a muster, lean your shoulder in. Okay, I'm going to take it. Put my down my hands. So let me go for a shot. Don't back away from the shot. Lean into it. Because, by the way, the first impression is very important. A person knows he's getting muster, or a guy starts to give a muster, just think in your mind, I'm going to take it. I'm going to accept it. I'm not going to defend myself. I want to listen. I'm going to listen. And lean into the muster. Yeah, you're right. Even if you don't think he's right. By the way, I have a good klal. I do this many times. If a guy's going to tell me something, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it, the first thing I do with it is always positive. In other words, if a guy's going to tell me something and say, you shouldn't have done this. So the first thing you do is, first thing you should do is lean in. Yeah, you're right, because it makes it easier. Even if it hurts you a little bit, we'll get over it. Merit Hashem, we'll get over it. You're right. Oh, you're right. Thank you for telling me. You're right. And then you want to defend yourself. Oh. And then afterwards you realize you don't really have a good defense. Okay, let me defend myself. I can't explain it. For example, a guy calls me and he wants to know if he should come for Shabbos. Right? And let's say I don't know if it's a good week. So the first thing I do is not to think if it's a good week or not. Or if it's too much, too difficult. So the first thing you say is, oh, that'd be wonderful if you came for Shabbos. It really would be wonderful for Shabbos. Then, I have to think about it if it's a good week. I'm trying to, even if you really don't know if you yourself want to come for Shabbos, but if you lean the positive way, then you can, then it's always better to lean in the positive direction. Lean in the positive direction. You can always make it up and come back with, oh, I'm sorry, it's not a good Shabbos. Or, oh, yeah, yeah, you, yeah, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. I'll tell you what you're saying. And then afterwards, if you feel it's necessary or appropriate, then oh, then you could take the other side. Lean in to the positive side first. It's, by the way, the guy, see, always take the positive side first. Because if you take the positive side first, mamarusha, it's go against your grain. Meaning, if you go against the negative first, because the first way you deal with it is very important. All right, we'll stop. Oh, it's late.
All right. I quickly yesterday covered an important point. I hope the message will be clear and keep it in your minds. What we said yesterday, what we were talking about, that when a person receives Musar, he should not get crushed and get all like down on himself and all hard on himself because someone pointed out that he's not perfect. He should be able to put into perspective that Yitaka not perfect, Yitaka is not the first time he's made a mistake. And if a person gives you a Musar and you didn't make a mistake, then you should be able to be strong enough to, you know, pat yourself on the back and tell yourself, you know, okay, the person gave you a Musar, but I did what I think is right. And we said also, a person has to break a machlekes. It's very important. If a person's in a machlekes, the best way to break the machlekes is to discuss it. And if someone's upset at you, especially, you should try to get the person to tell you. Especially in marriage, if it's in your friend, you can get someone else to do it. But especially in marriage, you want to ask your wife, you know, why she's upset at you. And once again, the cure starts once a person expresses himself. Once a person gets it out, they can scream at you. Once a person gets it out, you know that the refuah is going to start to take place. The refuah is starting. And sometimes a guy's afraid. To ask his friend or ask his wife, you know, what he did wrong, or you know, because he's afraid of being criticized, and it's not good. But if a person learns to be able to take criticism, I mean that a person take criticism not so personally, not like, oh, I'm not, again, go back to self-confidence, but take it that I'm a person, you know, I can make a mistake. Not to get all crushed because someone's yelling at you, even someone's screaming at you, not to get all crushed, and then you'll be able to ask the person why you're upset at you, so they'll scream at you, and you'll say you're sorry, you'll say you're wrong, and that'll be it. If you get all crushed, then again, you're going to fight back also, you're going to start defending yourself, and, alright, let's start over here. Now we're going to discuss more giving mustard to other people. Right, that's fun, right? That's more fun. Receiving mustard is not fun. Giving mustard is fun, right? Alright, chas v'shalom. Kamosh ina kaisa mekavot techacham ha'achir. Just like an angry person cannot receive mustard from other people, so to an angry person is not able to give mustard to other people. It could be usher for him to give mustard to other people. Because the Torah said, give your friend mustard. It says, give your friend mustard and don't place upon him a sin. And the way he's going to learn, let's continue a little bit. Betchila, in the beginning, techiacha, you say you should give him musar benachas, softly, uviseser, privately, v'saymer lay belash and rak, and you should tell it to him in a soft tongue, to tachnun him, and appease him. Kila taivasai ata oimer lay. These are the key lines here. Kila taivasai ata oimer lay, because you're telling it to him for his benefit. Va'az, and then, lay tekaba olav chet. You will not receive due to him, you will not receive a chayt. So the way we're typed in the pasuk is ta'chiyach ta'chiyach asav misecha v'loisis alav. Don't carry because of him a sin. In other words, don't get yourself a sin because in you're trying to give him musar. So now, this is the yisayin. The yisayin is when you're giving musar to someone else. Why are you giving him musar? You are giving him musar solely for his benefit. It's pasha, a tremendous chesed. Imagine if a person, if you know that a person has a physical illness and he needs to go to the doctors, or a person is going to suffer a financial loss, that, you know, he's going to invest in a bad business, he's going to take a bad partner, you tell the guy, listen, it's not good for you. Don't do it. Or you tell the guy, chas v'shalom, you tell him, you know, you have a sickness, you have to go to the doctor. You say, oh, I won't tell him, because he's going to be upset that he's sick. I'm not going to tell him, he's going to be upset if I tell him. You're interested in taivasai. You're doing it for his benefit. There's no greater chesed than stopping a person from doing an aveira. There's no greater chesed than stopping a person from doing an aveira. We're always so nervous, you know, to give someone musa, because we might insult him. Now, I'm playing one side of the story here, but people are very nervous and don't tell a person, give a person musa, or a person's feelings not straight, and they don't tell the person because, well, it's usually an excuse. But the person says, oh, I don't want the person to be insulted, I don't want the person to feel bad. Chesed! Chesed! Rachmanis! Chesed! By the way, even if the guy is going to be upset at you, if you tell him his tefillin are not straight, but he'll listen. Or even if the guy's going to be upset at you, you tell him, you know, you're speaking Lashon Hara. Or you're doing Lashon Hara, by the way, there's a different responsibility. I always feel that when a person says Lashon Hara, you're not only responsible for the person who's speaking Lashon Hara, you're responsible for the victim. You got to save the victim. One time I saw someone, it looked like someone was stealing something. You gotta stop them. When someone's stealing someone else's thing, you gotta stop them. You're responsible for the king. I don't care if you have to embarrass the guy, you have to scream at the guy. You gotta stop someone else from being stolen. When someone's a victim of Lashon Hara, you know, you also gotta protect the victim. But you say, you give a guy a muster. He's gonna feel bad. He's gonna be insulted. He's gonna feel bad. He's gonna feel criticized. You're doing him a big chesed. You're saving him. Even though the person thinks you're a J-E-R-K, he thinks you're a mean person, he thinks you're a Baal Gaiva, he thinks you're a frummy. Ah, oh, frummy you are. Frummy. He thinks you're a frummy. So you don't care. Because when you want to save someone, if you want to help someone, and you know it's for their benefit, so I don't care if you'll be upset at me. If a person, whatever, what would be an example? You know a person wants to invest into a person wants to borrow money from you. A person wants to borrow money from you because he wants to, he comes to the call, guys. So the guy comes to me, says he wants to invest $500,000, no problem. So I want $500,000, I want to invest. And I know that it's a bad investment. So I'm not giving him the money. He could scream at me and yell at me. I'm not giving him the money. Why? Because who cares will be upset at me? I do not want someone else to suffer. I don't want him to lose his pants. I don't want to be in debt the rest of his life. So therefore, I'm so holy that I'd rather someone scream at me and someone be upset at me for his own benefit. So you have to realize something. When you're giving a guy musar, you're doing him a tremendous chesed. People don't look at you. You're doing him a big chesed. Imagine a guy walking around his whole life, his tefillin are not straight. He's come to Shemayim, and they might give him some points for trying. But he doesn't have mitzvah tefillin. Gemara says a person that doesn't ever wear tefillin has had, you know, one of those people, those are the people that you can't go into Olam Haba or something, says a head that never wore tefillin. You know, okay, maybe it's different if a person tried. But Lamaisa, it's a head that didn't wear tefillin. His tefillin are off. So he's going to be embarrassed. He's going to feel bad. He's 7 years old. He's going to feel bad if I tell him his tefillin, his whole life's not been straight. But if there's a chance to listen to you, you know what you're giving him? You're giving him a mitzvah tefillin? A mitzvah tefillin is worth more than $1 million. You're doing him a big chesed. So he'll get a little bit annoyed at you because you'll bother him for 3 minutes when he fixes tefillin. So you bother him for 2 minutes. So you bother him. First of all, usually people don't get upset. But I don't want to go into that discussion right now. Usually people, you know, we're more just nervous for ourselves. But it's chesed. Chesed. Where's your rachmanas? Where's your care for your friend? But now, think about that. But now, obviously, so now what happens? If I care about someone, if someone comes to me and asks me to borrow $1 million, right? Of course I have it. The guy comes to me and wants to borrow $10, and I think he's going to use it for something that's not good for him, and I don't give it to him. So he'll be upset at me. But of course I tell him, I feel bad that you're upset. I don't mean, when a person is giving mussar, you have to be giving it to him because you care about him. If you're giving him mussar because you like to give mussar, but you don't, you're not thinking, you're just give mussar. Oh, lashon hara. You know, there's some people that get into this habit. We call them the mussar givers. You know, oh, lashon hara. You know, this, that. And they're always giving out mussar. They're giving out mussar. That's not what we're talking about. That's not chesed. You're not doing it the right way. You're makabel achet. Because you have to think about the other person. You have to think about the person. I don't want to hurt the other person. If you have a guy, lamashal, you know, whatever it is, imagine, you know, imagine you hold, you know, I'll give you an example, Rachmanis. You have to be, if I'm doing it for your benefit, so then I should come at you very softly. And by the way, I think it's inappropriate for someone to give mussar to someone else, unless it's like lashon hara, we have to stop immediately. You should think about it in advance before the situation comes up. But if let's say a person has to give mussar to someone, he feels the person's acting inappropriately. So now, I should think about it before I give him the mussar. I shouldn't just go over to the guy and say, you know, even if he's saying nicely, you know, Yanko, I don't think you should, you hear him talking on the phone to his parents, he say, Yanko, I don't think you should talk to your parents that way. That's not good enough. Think about it. Talk to myself, think about it. Before you give him mussar, think about a few minutes. Think about what's the best way of saying it. What's the best way of doing it? Maybe I should have a Rebbe do it. Maybe I should do it in a very, very indirect way. Maybe I should, if I really think about it really well, maybe I'll have a really intelligent way of doing it that he won't even feel that I'm attacking him or I'm criticizing him. They're ingenious ways of giving mussar. Ingenious. We're supposed to use our talents, use our chachma. Think, how could I give the guy mussar that he will, that it really will get in, it'll work, but he won't be insulted, won't be hurt. Not just to give mussar, but without thinking about the other person. I don't care if you're going to criticize him this much. I don't care if you're going to tell him a little thing. Oh, you didn't speak to your parents nicely. A little bit's also a pain. A little bit also hurts. We don't want to hurt anybody even a little bit. If we could avoid hurting him when we give him mussar and we don't, it could be we're over a chait. It could be we're doing the wrong thing. It's like the Gemara says, it says by a writer, if a guy's chasing after someone to kill the person, it says you're allowed to shoot him to stop him from killing me. Right? Reuven's trying to kill Shimon, so you're allowed to kill Reuven to stop him from killing Shimon. But if you can shoot him in the legs, and you don't, it'd be chayv misa. You shoot him in the legs, And without killing him, and he could stop him, then you're not allowed to do it. There's no heter. There's no heter to give a guy mussar and hurt him if you could do it in a way that doesn't hurt him. And there's a lot to think about when you give a guy mussar, you know, if you're doing it the right way. I also want to speak about, we spoke a little bit about it. You have to put things into perspective. You know, don't overjudge the situation. Think about it a little bit. You know, sometimes a guy's doing something, you all of a sudden jump to give him mussar, and it's something that doesn't deserve necessarily even mussar. Think about it. Maybe it's not, you know, sometimes you make a bigger deal than it is. It always bothered me. Baruch Hashem, one of the points of success of this yeshiva comes from this point. It always bothered me that I used to see sometimes a Rebbe or whatever it is, a guy would come to yeshiva, you know, wearing a yarmulke too small, or he'd come to yeshiva with too many bobby pins, or come to yeshiva without a hat and jacket or whatever it is, and the Rebbe would start pouncing on him. It really bothers me more than, it bothers me a tremendous amount. To me it's totally wrong. I'll tell you there's a few points. First of all, you're embarrassed. You're doing it in public. Are you doing it in public? You're allowed to do it in public. If you feel that's your only way of doing it, fine. You've thought of it. You have to do it in public. You have to do it in public. Take it privately. But besides that, you're criticizing someone for something that's not really something wrong. A guy comes in chais is he has a big suede. He comes in with a big suede yarmulke. So he comes into yeshiva, with a big suede yarmulke. So imagine when he comes in, the mashgiach starts screaming at him. It's a big suede yarmulke. It's not a problem in shir. Okay, he comes in screaming at him. What are you doing with the suede yarmulke? Oh, you're a bum. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? Why is he a bum? Why is he a bum? Think he's a bum? What is? So was he over? Elamai, you hold that the yeshiva has to have a certain surah, a certain edel azach. There's an edel azach here. The bachar yeshiva has to have a certain surah, and it's not good for the tzura of the yeshiva for him to be wearing the suede yarmulke. Okay, you're right. So take him into your office. Take him into your office. And say, Yankala, you know there's nothing really wrong with wearing a suede yarmulke. You know there's no Isser, you know there's Lashon Hara, there's Kashrus, there's a lot of other things. There's nothing really bad. You're a good Bacher. Bittul Taira, that's an Avera. So wearing a suede yarmulke is not an Avera. But listen, I have a yeshiva here, and I'm trying to run. It's important for the yeshiva to keep a certain surah. I'm asking you. You know, I'll even enforce it on you. I'll even have to, you know, be on top of your case. It's an Irish guy. It's not the important one of the most important things for your life. But I'm asking you, switch your yarmulke. I would think that a sensible bacher would be willing to listen. But if a bacher comes into yeshiva wearing a suede yarmulke or wearing a colored shirt, and the mashgiach goes over to him and says to him, boom. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you dressing like that for? What do you think this is? A disco here? So what are you doing to the guy? First of all, you're embarrassing him, you're criticizing him, you're putting him down for something that does not deserve b'chlal to be put down for b'chlal. And you're also teaching him sheker. You're misrepresenting the Torah. The Torah is totally logical. Everything in the Torah makes sense. This does not make sense. I hold the Bacher's right. I'm not saying you should chas v'shalom rebel against Yiddishkeit. This is not Yiddishkeit. It's sheker. This is sheker. This is where the Torah stands on wearing a suede yarmulke. You're a bum. What do you mean? What's wrong with it? Oh, you have a good reason why the yeshiva should fine. But when you come over to the guy and overjudge it and pick on him, a guy's bottling in the hallway. A guy's bottling from the hallway. Okay. Maybe come over to him and tell him, you know, canoe. Maybe not, but he's wearing a basic bad yarmulke. Scream at him. What are you doing? What are you doing? You're teaching him sheker. And then the guy leaves the yeshiva system saying that the rebbeim, this is not Torah, it doesn't make sense. Torah is not emes. You're learning in yeshiva is not emes. Of course learning in yeshiva is emes. Of course Torah is emes. Some guy decides to get caught up in the way he wants his yeshiva to look like, and he gets all excited about it, and he gets overreacts about it. Overreacts. You teach him sheker. Teach him sheker. Tell the guy the truth. There's no chiv. Yes, there's no chiv to wear a delvigam. There's no chiv. No chiv. Why are you overreacting? Why are you going crazy? You teach him sheker. It bothers me very much because in this area, I think so many guys go through yeshiva system and get the wrong messages and get a little bit turned off, get burnt out, because they're mishandled. Tell the guy's not learning, whatever the guy's doing, anything the guy's doing, you want to give him a sir, call him in privately. Call him in privately. But when you make a big deal of something that really is not a big deal, then your mom is teaching him sheker. Of course, I had a boy in my bunk when I was in camp. I was a counselor. I had a boy in my bunk. The kid was nuts. At the point, I wasn't able to say it because I think maybe I'm nuts. But the boy was nuts. He was in eighth grade. He said you're not allowed to wear a bobby pin in the yarmulke, and he had all these halachas, all these frumkites. Shugana, he's an eighth grader. What did his yeshiva do to him? Or maybe his whoever did it to him. What, he made him to Meshugana? When you see a guy wearing, I don't care what color shirt or what color, a guy that's not wearing a hand jacket to daven. There are halachic sources to wearing a hand jacket to daven, yes. But there are halachic sources for a lot of other things that we transgress. And when we criticize the guy, and we look down on the guy, we're over a lot more halachic sources than a person who might be, who's over the mishabur who says to wear a hat. The mishabur brings a svar to wear a hat. There's a makar. There's a makar for it. But there's no makar. There's no makar to criticize a guy, to look down at a guy. The whole thing's messed up. Baruch Hashem, I think one thing this yeshiva, guys don't get turned off because there's a certain honesty. There's a certain norm, just normalcy. The Torah is emes. The Torah makes sense. Don't overdo it in your own mind. When you see a guy, sometimes we see a guy, whatever it is, his clothing, his hair, and all of a sudden you're just like, oh, this guy's a bad guy. Think to yourself, Meshuggah, why does it make it a bad person? There's so many people that see a guy with long hair, or see a guy with weird clothing, and they just look down at him and assume something, and he's so much better than the person who's looking at him from his shtreimel, and he's so much better than the other people around him that are dressed very, very frum. Dress is a dress. It's just a cover. Is it important? Yes, I think it's important. If someone asks me, should I dress like Yeshiva Bacher? Yes, you should. Is that the ikar? No, it's a dress. It's a cover. Life is about keeping the Torah and mitzvahs. It's an important way to dress. It's important to dress nicely. It's important to dress appropriately. It's not the ikar. It's like, it's better to have a person that keeps Torah mitzvahs. It's like a stupid, I'm saying the most stupidest thing possible. It's better to have a guy that keeps Torah mitzvahs and dresses like a mishugah. Yes. A very big chiddush. Big chiddush. It's like the maisa with some of the Simon Rebbe or something. There's someone someone didn't have a beard. And the Sam Rebbe held, was it Mike Trass? I think it was Mike Trass. Mike Trass was, I read the book about him. He's an unbelievable person. So Mike Trass, he didn't have a beard. So the Sam Rebbe, they gave him a lot of kavod. He was a very, very chashuv person. So one of the Hasidim came to Sam Rebbe and he said to him, you give him all this kavod, he doesn't have a beard. So he said, okay, you're right. He said, when they come to Shemayim, they're going to ask him, they say, Reb Michal, they ask him, I don't know if I'm saying this 100%, he said, Reb Michal, where's your beard? And when you guys come to Shemayim, they'll say, beards, where's your Reb, where's your Neshama, where are you? This is not the ikar. It's a nice thing. No one's knocking. It's important. But it's not the ikar. And when people make it ikar, it's a terrible thing. They hurt people. They're over aveirus, over lavim. More lavim have been over criticizing probably than people who have not complied. Anyways, should we cover one more thing? All right. Once we're on the hot topics, let's cover one more thing. One more thing. In terms of giving musr. All right. There are people will call them the critics. Alright? People will call them the critics. Some people like to criticize. And it's a very bad needle. It's not under this topic giving muscle. People like to criticize. And the thing I like to focus on is different examples where first of all, we should never look to criticize. It should always be a last resort having to tell someone. Musar, if we feel someone has to be told something, for his benefit, we want to help the person. Okay? There's some people that are criticized. Critics. Many times there are people that are Isaac. In this yeshiva, I've discussed it with different people that are Isaac in different things. Some people are Isaac in arranging Shavuot brachas. Some people are Isaac in running candy machines. Everyone go buy Azishas. Some people are involved in tape libraries. Some people are involved in various chasadim. And there are always going to be some people that come over with their helpful suggestions and criticisms of how come when you start for the Shavuot brachas, you didn't set the napkins nicely? Or how come it takes so long to get the food out? And they feel that they're such helpful people because they're trying to help things go along. People are waiting. It's not right. And the thing that they missed the boat 100%. Usually the criticisms are off because they didn't bother actually finding out before they criticized. They didn't bother like asking, why is it taking so long, or ask someone else, what's going. There are many times usually reasons for things that happen a certain way. People all of a sudden assume. By the way, you should never assume before you even give mustard to someone, before you criticize someone, you should always think a long time or ask someone. I know myself many times, how many hundreds of times do you think someone's Balakav Slus, you think the person's doing something that's wrong and there's a good reason for it. But I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about the midah of criticism with absolutely 0-0-0 akarasa type. 0-0 akarasa type. It represents 0 akarasa type. A guy goes over to someone, who's setting up a Shavuot brachas, he says, how come it's taking so long to get the food out? How come this is not good? I don't understand. You know what I'm thinking? If I'm sending the Shabbatas, I'm working so hard. I'm trying to take care of everything. Even if we messed up something, whatever it is. Do you have any appreciation? Have you helped any bit? All your help is to come in and say, how come this is not that? We don't need those. No hakaras hatov, none, zero. Zero hakaras hatov for what other people do. Some people have zero hakaras hatov to what other people do, and they're just looking to criticize. They think that's their help to the world with all their positive and brilliant suggestions. Probably those people, don't worry, your suggestions have been heard already, because you're not that brilliant. Hakaras hatov, a guy runs a candy machine. People come over, how come this is so expensive? Or how come this? Of course, how come you don't have, maybe you should get this in the machine, how come you don't get this? Zero hakaras hatov, zero. And people are all the same people that say, oh, hakaras hatov, I'm paying for it. Hakaras hatov, I'm paying $1, I'm paying $1.25, hakaras hatov, I'm paying for the food. A person's attitude should be that if this person wouldn't be taking care of this machine, then you wouldn't have your cookie. You'd be hungry and you would starve. No one's forcing anyone to buy anything from a candy machine. No one's forcing you to buy it. If you don't want it, don't buy it. No one's forcing you. The guy is doing you a favor by having this machine. The guy is doing you a favor. I don't care if he's getting paid for it. He's doing you a favor. There's so many people that do for other people, and there's a certain group of a certain clever people that all they do is put in their negative, their criticism. I'll tell you what, if you would show your appreciation to people that do things for you, the guy runs a tape library. Imagine the effort. No one thinks, how much effort is a person putting into it? How much effort is a person doing it? Not for people assume, oh, he's doing it for this reason. No, there are people besides that actually do things for the right reasons. You know, there are people that are above you. They do it for the right reasons. People put an effort into things, and people will work into things for good reasons, and they care to do it. A guy comes over, how come you don't do it this way? Why don't you first go over to people? First work on going over to people and showing appreciation for them. How many people go over to the people sending b'shav brachos, or go over to other people and say, thank you so much for doing this. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. The food could be awful. The food could be burnt. You didn't do it. They did it. You owe them hakaras hatov. Thank you so much. By the way, those people that are known to give tremendous appreciation to other people, those people are the people listening. The people that are doing the things are ready to listen to their helpful suggestions. A person that shows you a lot of gratitude. Oh, it's amazing. I appreciate you. I don't know how you're such a tzaddik. You're doing everything. And then the guy comes over to you know, the next time. He says, it's amazing what you're doing. But maybe they should do this way. You'll happily listen to their suggestion. Because this is a person who appreciates what you're doing. He mamish cares about you. He has a karas hatov. And he wants to point out something to make things better. He's doing it for you. He's doing it for the tzibur. But usually, it's ironic, usually the people with the helpful suggestions are the ones that have no karas hatov. We have to think into that. I wonder why it is that way. Maybe because they're more thoughtful and they talk and realize the suggestions have been thought of. Or it's just inappropriate to give suggestions to people or criticism. Worse, because you're insulting the person. You're insulting the person. We should be full of hakaras hatov with our parents. People think, I spoke about this many times with people with parents. Children have criticisms or complaints against the parents. Where is hakaras hatov? Shmuel, you spoke about Shabbos. Hakaras hatov. How do you have the chutzpah to go over to someone that brought you into the world, that gives you money? I don't care if they give you money, that took care of you, that fed you, that clothed you, that will go for you in the middle of the night, and go over and say, how come you're not giving me a new car? How come you're not giving me a new suit? My friends all get new suits every. You should be hard enough to ask for anything, because you're just so much in gratitude to everything your parents did for you. You just have a hard time even have a hard time. I feel bad even asking you, because imagine a person supported you. Imagine I went over to imagine someone came over to you and said, I want to support you the rest of your life. You look like a good yeshiva buck. I want you to sit and learn. I'll be your zavul and you'll be your sacher. He says, I'll give you money. I'll give you money. I'll support you. Imagine 1 month. You know, his paycheck's a little late. Yeah. You go over to him and tell him. How come you're late this month? What's going on? I need the money. Is that who you come over to? Well, I wouldn't continue to support him because apparently he's not learning Torah. You go over to the guy and say to him, I'm embarrassed to come over to you. I'm uncomfortable because I owe you my life. I owe you. I have such a car to talk to you. But I really, really need the money. I don't even know if you'll be able to even ask. You'll probably have to get someone else to do it for you because you'll be too embarrassed. Too uncomfortable. When you have a car to talk to people, you don't just go over to them and demand things. A child has to be full of a car to talk to his parents. Full of a car to talk to his parents. Rabbi Kalish's father said in one of the at a book, said in halacha, said even if your parents don't do anything for you, you still have to give them, you still have to mechaber them, you still have to respect them. So I remember Rabbi Kalish was speaking a few years ago. He gave a big laugh. So he said, that's the funniest thing. So even if your parents don't do anything for you, you have to give them respect. What do you mean they don't do anything for you? They created you. They're your creators. They brought you into this world. They're partners with the Kaddish Baruch. Imagine if nowadays there wouldn't be such a thing as parenting. There'd be such a thing as we create people. We create people. Only certain people have this power. Only a certain power. A few people have this power, and they're able to create a certain amount of people. I created you. You're my creation. You be serving me. I created you. I didn't have to create. A parent, Lamaisa, created. It has a chiluk in your creation. How could we come to parents with complaints and criticism and never thank him? Not full of thank yous. A parent gives a child supper. A mother gives a child supper. Oh, chicken again. Oh, I don't like this. I don't like that. That's for 4-year-olds. A 2-year-old. I don't like this supper. Ma, thank you so much for supper. Thank you so much. Hopefully, when you go to other guests' house, you go to other people's houses, you have a karsatov that they're giving you a suda. When your mother gives you a suda, there's less a karsatov because my mother owes it to me. Any good mother has to give their kids supper. I don't wish on you such children. You know, imagine a husband has that attitude with his wife. A husband says, "Oh, I don't have to thank my wife for making me dinner or making me food because that's a wife's job." And she doesn't have to thank you for going to work, and she doesn't have to thank you for anything you do for the family because that's your job, that's your responsibility. So therefore, we will never say thank you. A husband and wife will never say thank you to each other. It'll be a perfect marriage. It'll be a perfect marriage if they both have the attitude. Of course, we all want to be said thank you to. Parents don't owe you anything, and even al pi halacha, the mechuyav to feed you till you're 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever, however long the mechuyav to feed you, even for those years, you're mechuyav to give them a karas hatayim. But past then, 18, 19, 20, already? You know, it's a very bad midah. Many times the critics are totally lacking the midah of a karas hatayim. All right, so, no, we'll continue.